How do you do? Every road has two directions, they say, and the two cousins in this story were both traveling the same direction when one of them made an about-face and chose the other way. He tried to get his cousin to reverse, but didn't succeed, not until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hello?
Rose, it's over.
Marie, what are you talking about?
My marriage is over. We're getting a divorce.
Oh, sis, I'm so sorry. Have you tried marriage counseling?
Oh, no, Larry, he's not interested. His mind is made up.
Oh, what about Ricky?
Oh, he's gonna stay with me.
I'm glad of that. Will you stay in Schenectady? Why don't you come to Syracuse and stay with Mom till you get on your feet? The upstairs apartment in my house, right down the street, it'll be available soon. You can live there.
Oh, Rose, I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, divorce is a terrible thing, but we're a family. We take care of each other.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history, true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The homeless person is often despised and rejected, told to move on. Yet the folks at Pacific Garden Mission welcome them, offering meals for each day, a bunk for each night, and fresh clothing, all without charge, even medical and dental treatment in the Mission Clinic. Pastors and counselors share the good news, the way to change their lives by introducing them to the person who cares more than anyone. He is despised and rejected of men, so Jesus understands their dilemma. Since 1877, the old lighthouse has been beaming forth the way, the truth, and the life. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3112 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Tom, you have to take care of your cousin Ricky today.
Why me? Make the girls take care of him.
Oh, they have a school function. It won't hurt you.
Tough guys don't babysit.
Oh, it won't kill you.
All right. I'll teach him how to be cool so he doesn't make the same mistakes I did.
Last week we heard how the young man in our story relied on toughness to get through difficulties. In this conclusion of his story, we'll hear how he influenced his cousin. This is the true testimony of Thomas Jeremiah, right now on Unshackled.
I was 16, 10 years older than my cousin, when he and Aunt Marie moved to Syracuse to be close to family. Anything but a good example, I smoked pot then, hassled my teachers, and got into many fights. Whenever I babysat Ricky, I taught him all the wrong things. Man, you should have been there, Ricky. My gym teacher looks like a walrus, and I called him that in his office today. Yeah, he picked me up and threw me across the room. I landed in his chair with so much force, I slammed into the wall. Look, never mock him to their face. I did that in shop class once, and the teacher was so mad, I was banned from his class. Mom had to meet with the administrators to get me back into class. Seems like teachers are always running me out of class. I'll be glad to graduate, man, and I'm sure not going to college. I was stealing from the grocery store where I worked. When the security guard warned me about giving discounts to my friends, I quit and took a job as security, working the graveyard shift all night alone. There I listened to Unshackled, repented of my sins, and prayed, asking Christ to save me. By then, Ricky was 10. One day in our basement, I tried talking to him.
Why don't you smoke anymore, Tom?
It was really bondage, Ricky, but Jesus set me free.
You once told me smoking was cool.
I did a lot of dumb things before I knew Christ. All that fighting, running around with lots of girls, drinking and partying all the time. Look, that doesn't honor God. It's dumb, and it does so much damage to the body, Ricky.
Mom's dating. That's a dumb thing.
Oh, that's normal. Look, she and your dad are divorced, and he's moved on with his life. He's already married to someone else. Aunt Marie should have someone in her life, too.
She has me. I don't want another dad. Why do people get divorced anyway?
God didn't want any of this to happen, Ricky. It's all because of sin. See, we are naturally bad, and we need Jesus to help us to be good.
I wish Mom and Dad would get married again, and then I could be with both of them again. The day we left, I thought Dad was sending me away because I had put a toy in a plastic syrup bottle and filled it with water. Then I put it in the freezer. Dad got mad with me, and I thought he was sending me away because I'd been so bad.
None of it's your fault, Ricky. How is Aunt Marie doing?
She cries a lot.
Oh, I know that's hard on you.
I hate my life. I hate it, Tom.
Would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life? He can help you.
Is Ricky still in the basement?
Yeah, he just prayed with me, asking Jesus to save him.
Oh, Marie won't like that, Tom.
Why wouldn't she? Everyone needs Jesus, Mom. Even you.
Tom, I go to church every week. And I always help others, all I can.
Going to church doesn't save you. Good works don't either, Mom. Knowing Jesus as your Savior is all that counts with God. I mean, he gave his only son.
Here comes Marie to get Ricky. Can we not talk about this?
Sure, Mom.
Rosa, hi, it's me.
Hi, Marie. I think Ricky's in the basement.
I'm so glad that his school is right across the street, and you let him come here until I get off work.
Oh, he is no problem.
He's been awful about my dating.
A divorce is difficult for everybody, Marie, but especially children. He'll get better as he gets older.
I hope so.
Tom says he prayed with Ricky today in the basement. Oh,
I hope Tom asked God to straighten him up. That boy needs prayer.
Ricky prayed with tears that day, but later he said that he didn't remember it, and I continued to pray for him through the years. As I read the Bible and listened to Christian radio, I realized that I needed to find a church that taught the Word of God with power and conviction, like the television evangelist we listened to as children. I did, and it was wonderful. I started teaching Sunday school and shared my new faith with friends and family. The hardest was Dad.
Yeah, your mother said you changed your religion. Why'd you have to go and do that?
I didn't change my religion, Dad.
You don't go to church with us.
My church teaches directly from the Bible, Dad, and we worship the Lord together because of what he's done for us. My life wasn't going the way I needed it to go, Dad. While at work, I listened to a radio program called Unshackled that told about people whose lives were filled with sin and despair, just like mine. Then, when they prayed to God for salvation, Jesus changed their lives, Dad. So I prayed and asked God to change mine, too. And he has.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, I know that you stopped smoking before you were ever married, but I smoked and drank. I even smoked marijuana. Now, I don't. I was such a lousy son. I was always getting into trouble at school, and I was disrespectful to you. I was wrong, but I couldn't help myself. Jesus changed all of that, Dad. My brother and youngest sister came to church with me, and they professed faith in Christ, too. The change in them was drastic. I saw less of Ricky in his teenage years. I tried to influence him by taking him to an evangelical movie.
That was a good movie, Tom. That family was brave to protect the Jewish people, and then the lady had the courage to stand up to the Nazis.
Yeah, her dad read the Bible to them every day, and they learned that God would provide and protect them, even from those who were our enemies.
I'd still be scared.
Well, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation."
I'd like to see Europe someday.
Well, maybe you will, but it's better to go wherever God leads.
You sure talk about God a lot.
He saved me from hell, Ricky. I have to tell others what Jesus said. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he died so that we can all be saved and go to heaven.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it means that God wants to save you. I lost many friends after my salvation, so I was lonely. I dated a couple of girls over a 7-year period, but the relationships ended and I was disappointed. I waited for the woman God had chosen for me. Now, one day during a church service, I saw her, but I didn't dare talk to her. She was 7 years younger than me, and she was very shy, but very beautiful. Finally, a mutual friend told me that she wanted to meet me. I was 27 at that time.
What's her name?
Desiree. How did you know?
Oh, a mother knows when her son is in amore.
Mom, she's only 20.
So?
Well, I was afraid she wouldn't go out with me, but she did.
Uh-huh.
She's half Italian.
Good!
You know what's interesting, Mom? Remember when we all took that trip to Italy to see Dad's sister and the farm where he lived?
Oh, my.
I was only 14.
Yes, it was a wonderful trip.
Oh, I know. I'll never forget it. Well, Desiree and her family went there the same year. I mean, we could have been in the airport together. That's pretty special that God gave us a similar experience at the same time, even though we didn't know each other.
So where did you meet her?
In church. I want to marry her, Mom.
Oh, bring her home so we can all meet her.
My cousin Richard was 17 by then. I was busy dating, going to church, and working at my job making prosthetics. But we connected now and then. We were both changing. Hey, Richard. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I'm busy with school and parties.
Yeah, I remember. But they don't get you to heaven. Only Jesus does that.
Only Jesus?
Yeah. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Oh, come on, Tom. There are millions of people in the world who follow other religions.
Yes, but those other religions won't get them to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ.
You mean to say that if I was born a Hindu in India and I followed my Hindu religion as best I could to be righteous, you're saying I would go to hell?
Richard, the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one.
That's absurd.
It's what the Bible says. That's why God sent his only son to die for our sins. And that's why Jesus commands his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
What about someone who's never heard of Jesus, ever? Like, what about the pygmies in Africa, huh? And you're saying they go to hell?
Look, God will take care of the pygmies. His ways are not our ways, so we can't know everything. But those who know about Jesus and reject him will go to hell.
Well, I won't accept a God that condemns people to hell even though they're following their religion as well as they can.
I was surprised at the vehemence of Richard's beliefs. He was on the same wrong road I once traveled, away from God. I had to leave him in God's hands, but I continued to pray for Richard.
I didn't talk to Tom much after I graduated from high school. I continued on my worldly path, traveling some, but leaving God behind. Tom and Desiree got married in 1991 when he was 30. I was 20 at the time. And falling further into sin, stubbornly, I refused to believe that the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
In a moment, we'll hear how death would bring them together. Unshackled is a wonderful blessing and a great way to lead people to the Lord. Well, that's one of hundreds of emails we receive here at Pacific Garden Mission. Others read, "We love you guys and pray that many more are saved through your ministry." A woman writes, "I have felt worthless for a long time, but I am encouraged when I listen to the testimonies on Unshackled." A teenager writes, "You guys are awesome." Through the prayerful support of our friends, we hope to continue the great tradition of Unshackled, as one radio network manager stated, for years to come. Tell others about us, and let us hear from you today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
People other than my cousin Tom witnessed to me about Jesus, but I rejected them too. I figured when I was old and couldn't party anymore, I would give my life to Christ. I didn't agree with Tom, but I knew deep down that he was right. Even so, I fell deeper into sin, and my thinking lined up with the world's viewpoint. In my employment and during my college days, I developed relationships with people from many other countries. As they returned to their homes, I arranged to visit them there. This was a fulfillment of my desire to travel to foreign countries.
You're going to China?
Yeah, don't look so shocked, Mom. It's an exotic place.
No, it's a communist country, Richard. You don't know anyone there.
Last year when I was in France, I met a girl from Taiwan. She invited me to visit her and see the country with her native speaker, my own personal tour guide.
No, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous place, Richard. Anything could happen.
I hope so. I love seeing new places and meeting new people.
It's so expensive. Can you afford it?
Yeah, I've saved money for travel, and I have a new passport, so I'm all set. I wrote my friend, and I'm just waiting for her to say when. That trip fell through, so I decided to go to Japan to see another friend. Before I could make contact with him, a letter came from him. He had a job in Nepal and invited me to visit. But I had no interest in Nepal, so I was stuck. No place to go. Mom watched me as I pondered my dilemma, and one day, she came home from the hairdresser all excited.
Guess what? My hairdresser is going to Israel with the people at Tom's church.
Why would I care about that?
I told her how you like to travel, and she said you can go with them. You don't have to be a member of the church, and there's still an opening.
You're afraid for me to go anywhere by myself, and you suggesting now I go to Israel? There're bombings there all the time.
I know that.
How is that different from me going to China?
You wouldn't be alone. You'd be with a group of several hundred people. And besides, Tom and Desiree are going. And so you'd be with them.
Yeah, a bunch of born-agains. Mom, they're going to do is talk about Jesus the whole time.
I know, but you can go. And just be respectful.
So, I went to Israel with the group, telling Tom that I was going for just secular reasons. However, I was impressed by them. We went to the Sea of Galilee, stayed in a kibbutz, and I shared a room with a man named Phil from the church. We were scheduled to take a boat tour the next day, and I woke early in the morning and I heard Phil praying. After I got up, he explained.
I hope I didn't wake you up this morning. The Lord woke me up, and I needed to talk with him. And he talked with me.
Really? So tell me. What'd the Lord have to say?
Well, he doesn't speak out loud. He speaks in your heart.
Okay, so tell me anyway.
Well, this trip has made the Lord's presence so real, and my heart is filled with gratitude. Today, when we go out on the boat tour, he's going to make his presence known to us.
How's he going to do that?
I don't know, but we'll know when we see it.
This man is nuts. If he's just saying that to get me to join his church, he's going way too far. You know what? I think he's lying. But what does he have to gain by lying? What if he is telling the truth? How is the Lord going to make his presence known to us? And who is us? Am I included in that? Back and forth, I vacillated, unsure of his honesty and motive in telling me that. I didn't want to be left out just because I wasn't like them. I mean, if the Lord was really going to make his presence known, I wanted to be in on that. As we entered the boat, I looked around for any sign of the Lord making his presence known to us, even though I wasn't sure what to look for.
Yeah, it looks like a storm's coming up.
Yeah, sky's really dark.
The guys were talking about canceling the tour because of the weather.
Yeah, Phil's really looking forward to this boat trip. And he told me that he was talking to the Lord about this boat trip earlier this morning.
Well, this is the body of water where Jesus walked on water.
Bet it wasn't a day like today.
Well, actually, the weather was bad then, too. The Bible says the sea was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary.
Why would Jesus walk on water?
Well, he had sent his disciples in the boat earlier. They were to go to the opposite side of the lake, and Jesus stayed there and spent some time in prayer. During the night, he walked on the lake to join them in the boat. This is just one example of Jesus' power over all things. It was also a way to test the faith of his disciples.
Well, we're underway.
Wow. Look at that.
The clouds parted just enough for the sun to shine, but it shined only on our boat.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Lord. I know that you did this for us.
Oh.
Every person on the boat was singing and crying and worshiping God. I had a tremendous feeling of peace, knowing that I had been included in this display of God's presence. He didn't leave me out. As soon as the tour ended, the clouds once again hid the sun. And then I wondered if it was a coincidence. Later, I would learn that even some of Jesus' disciples doubted his resurrection from the dead, even though he was standing before them and speaking to them. On the bus ride to Jerusalem that night, I listened and was moved as the other people described what the Lord was doing in their lives, how they had come to him in repentance and faith. And that night, once again, Phil and I talked for hours. I ended up telling him all about my life.
You've been searching for your father's love all your life. And all along, your real father in heaven was right there. Jesus is the only one who can fill the emptiness in your life. The emptiness that you feel is not unique to you.
Sounds too good to be true.
Not with God. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
I always wish my life were different.
It can be. With Jesus, he said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
I know my life isn't right. I've lived selfishly and spent my money and time on the pursuit of my lusts and passions.
Jesus loves you anyway.
How can he? I mean, how can he really love a sinner?
Richard, we all sin. Christ died for us.
Even for someone like me, huh?
Yes. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead?
Yeah, I do.
You agree with God that you're a sinner?
No question about that.
Do you believe Jesus is coming back again?
Yeah, I do.
Then why don't you ask him to save you?
Someday I will.
Why not now?
It's 2:00 in the morning. Look, we better get some sleep, but why don't you pray for me? I mean, maybe someday I'll find the Lord.
I'll pray for you, but you need to pray to God as well. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Yeah, right. I'll pray.
Good. Why don't we pray right now?
Pray right now? What, here?
This is as good a place as any. Let's get on our knees.
All right.
Just repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Lord, Master, and friend.
Jesus, I repent of my sins against you. I believe you died to save me. Please be my Lord, Master, and be my friend. Look, I know why I'm crying, but why are you crying?
Tears of joy. The Bible says when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice.
I don't feel any different.
If you walk with the Lord in time, you'll see changes in your life. The Bible says that you're born again.
Hey, I just heard the news, Richard. You're born again.
I don't understand everything, but I did pray with Phil. What, you fall over from shock?
Oh, you're just like everyone else who dies to the old self and is born again.
What does that mean?
Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When you repent of your sins, ask Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, he gives you his Holy Spirit. In that moment, you're born again. He promises he'll never leave you or forsake you.
I still don't feel very different.
Start reading the Bible, Richard. It's food for your spirit. You give a newborn baby nourishment so it'll grow, and the same is true for you. Read God's Word and pray.
Lord, I don't understand all of this. I didn't come to Israel looking for you, but I believe what you showed me at the Sea of Galilee, and I want to believe all that I've heard. Now, everyone says I'm born again, that I'm saved. If this is really you, Lord, please show me one more thing that I cannot deny is from you. I need something that I know without a doubt can only come from you. The next day, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ was arrested and betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Our tour guide, an Israeli woman, began to explain.
Over there is the eastern gate in the Temple Vault. Jesus walked through that gate when he came down from the Mount of Olives. Now it's completely bricked up, but bricks and walls won't stop the Lord when he returns. The Bible says the Messiah will stand on the Mount of Olives and come through that gate with all the saints of heaven at the end of the world. Here we are at the Mount of Olives. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear because of your beliefs. I'm going to tell you what we here in Israel know. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. We know because it's in the exact location the Bible describes. We also know because the olive trees in this garden have been carbon dated. They date back 2,000 years or more. It's not uncommon for olive trees in this part of the world to live that long.
How can this be? I mean, you told us Jerusalem has been invaded over the centuries, and the invaders came in and cut down all the trees, burned the city, and built on top of it. How is it that these trees were never destroyed?
I don't know. I guess it must be a miracle in and of itself.
I went over to the trees and I touched them. At that point, the Lord brought me to the realization of how Jesus suffered in agony at the Garden of Gethsemane and how he died for my sins. I was completely humbled and wept as I prayed to the Lord.
Richard's life turned completely around after that trip. He came home and started going to church with us. Later, he married a godly woman and they serve in their church. Through the years, other family members and siblings have come to Christ. God gave my wife and me three children. My desire is to finish the race that is set before me and bring as many souls into heaven as I can.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can call on the Lord today while he is near. Let us know if you need help with this crucial decision, and we'll send you some literature to help you grow in faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3112. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.